My name is Stuart Schuffman, a.k.a. Broke-Ass Stuart.
Why do you go by Broke-Ass Stuart?
That's a very good question. It's a ridiculous name that I've had for a long time. Years ago, when I first started doing it, I was working in a candy store in North Beach, and I was broke. And somebody from my neighborhood growing up in San Diego came in with the woman who's now his wife. And as they were leaving, she gave me her business card and said she was a travel writer. I said, travel writer? I want to be a travel writer. So I decided to become one. So I made my first zine. It was Broke Ass Stuart's Guide to Living Cheaply in San Francisco. And that's how the name came around, because I was broke.
I see. That is a pretty effective name for, travel on the cheap kind of zine, I think.
Absolutely. The funny thing is, this is a great hook that hopefully more people are grabbing onto as it gets closer to the election. But a guy named Broke Ass Stuart, that's me, is running for mayor in the third most expensive city in the world and getting a lot of traction doing it. That's a beautiful headline of some sort.
Why do you think you're getting traction?
Partially because I already have a following. That helps. But also because I'm making really good points and people are paying attention, because people are really dissatisfied with the way that things are being done here in San Francisco. And people are very dissatisfied with Ed Lee.
Well, we're going to get to some of that. But first, I want to ask you, what does the city of San Francisco mean to you?
Home. City of San Francisco, I first moved here in the summer of 2002. And in that time, I've traveled around the world and I've lived in New York for a year, but it's been home since I moved here. And it's given me so much. It's given me all that I have, this career that I have as this wild, weird person that I am, as an entertainer, as a writer, as a performer. It's given me all that. And so, it's so sad to see what's happening to it and to see it change so rapidly and not necessarily the best direction. And so, that's why I'm doing all of this.
Yeah, you mentioned the change and you say that it's sad. What is it about the change that makes you sad?
Well, what brought me here and what brought so many people I know here is that no matter where you're from or what you do, if you didn't fit in where you were, you fit in San Francisco. And we're at risk of losing that because, my good friend Tom Temprano, who's also running for office, he's running for City College. He said something really funny on Facebook a while back. He goes, what was it? He says, people move from all over the U.S. to come out of the closet to live in San Francisco, only to move here and live in a closet. But he said it perfectly, which it should be enshrined someplace the way he said it. It was beautiful. But now you can't even do that. Now it's these people who come from all over can't even afford to be here anymore.
So your concerns about the change in San Francisco, they're mostly economic?
I mean, economics and cultural. I mean, cultural economics are so tied together, you know? Mm-hmm. But obviously, what made the city special for 150 years is that it was the last frontier. Whether you're talking about the last city before you fall into the ocean, or you talk about, where the genesis of so many things. It was the last frontier for thought, for culture, for all these things. And now it's and don't get me wrong, there's a lot of interesting things happening here, but it's all getting pushed down into one region in terms of ideology in a way, or in terms of research and information, instead of being this broad thing of art, culture. It used to be sure, you had the Pacific Heights people, but you also had everything else. Now it's going to, the marina is everywhere.
So there's a few stats that back up what you're talking about. The median cost of a one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco has been truly skyrocketing. It's more than $3,500 per month right now.
It's crazy.
As a result of those real estate taxes, though, another factor is the city budget is nearing $9 billion a year, which is easily the highest that it's ever been. You mentioned that there are pros and cons here. I want you to talk a little bit about this. I mean, it is an economic boom time. Unemployment is something like 3.6%, which I think to most people is a pretty good thing. So what do you think are the positives that are coming out of change in San Francisco?
Well, the thing with unemployment is this. It's we've had some roughly 40,000 new people move to San Francisco since 2010. And Ed Lee, she's I'm the mayor of jobs. I'm the mayor of jobs. But the thing is, there's all these jobs, but a lot of those jobs weren't going to San Franciscans. The people were imported for these jobs. So yes, unemployment's gone down, but it helps when all the people moving here are moving here for jobs. And granted, of course, there are jobs that have come out of those businesses too for locals. But I imagine a lot of people who might have been unemployed before still might not have these jobs that have moved here.
Well, there has been a changing kind of economy. There's a lot more contract workers, for
sure.
Example. There's the gig economy.
which is like, you know, I've been a freelancer for most of my adult life and I appreciate that. But I mean, it, you know, it hurts workers' rights when everybody is part of the gig economy, because then you can't organize and you can't negotiate as a group. And you're very, you know, I mean, Uber just had this problem where the court said they are not, all these people are actually employees, because a gig economy makes it, you know, you're like, you know, I don't want to do that, I'm out, you know? Whereas Uber's like, no, you actually have to do that, because even though you're a contractor, you have to take that call. So there's so many issues here in San Francisco. There's so many complicated things, and it's just like, it's where do you draw the line? You know, the good things are, yes, there's money. There's so much money.
Well, what would you do with that money, considering that, you know, Ed Lee's working with a bigger budget than he's ever had before, and actually he was able to pass his ideas for a budget through the supervisors without any objections?
You know, I think there's a big housing bond coming through. I haven't done enough research on that, but that sounds great if it goes to the right places. I would like to see a huge expansion in the Navigation Center. I would like to see...
And the Navigation Center is where groups of homeless people can go and then get situated more effectively.
Right, right. It's proving to be very effective. And basically, it's a systematic way of taking people who are itinerant or on the streets and putting them in some place where there are not only just beds, but there's also... people who are counselors, people who are advocates, people who get them on their feet and get them into actually like being back into society. I wrote an article today about homelessness in San Francisco. A little bit ago, my local homeless lady, Eileen, died. She's been around forever. I've been in my place for 3.5 years. My roommate, she's been there for 8 years. She's been around for as long as he's been there. She's been a part of the neighborhood. Very sweet lady. You know, I said hi every day. And she was sick, you know, she was mentally ill, and she had some kind of intravenous drug problem. I see her shoot up a lot, but she was still human, and she was still sweet, and she was a person. You know, she, one December, she put out itty bitty little Christmas tree outside of her tent, you know, which is, there was something so humanizing about that. Because we have to turn that off here in San Francisco. We have to turn off, like, these aren't people. These are just homeless, because, like, or else it's so hard. There's so much humanity here, you know?
Well, it's a challenging thing to think about, because there are different arguments about how to help homeless people, mm-hmm. whether it's better to give handouts or whether it's better to give programs or money or, you know, carrying
right.
on cash, all that kind of thing. However, what do you think would be best for the Eileens of San Francisco then?
I think, you know, help. And I'm not talking about here's 50 bucks, go buy yourself what you need. No, I mean, like, actually, like, you know, I think the Navigation Center is great. I think we need to have things that more like wet houses and safe injection sites where people, you know, you look at, you know, trans women or women in general on the street who are prey, especially if you're using heroin, because, you know, you're not off and, like, you're just kind of there for a little while. So we need safe injection sites where people can go use drugs safely. We need, you know, if you have a drug problem, it's pretty hard to get clean when you're sleeping in a doorway. So have houses where, you know, places where people can go and they don't have to be sober to get in, you know, and that way, and there will be counselors there to help them get clean.
Mm-hmm.
We have more homeless now than ever. And, you know, while there might be a lot of jobs and there might be a lot of millionaires, there's also more homeless people than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 71% of, this is statistic is from the census that San Francisco did and the homeless count, 71% of the people on the streets here were San Franciscans in San Francisco addresses before they were on the street. These are our people.
So they're newly homeless, you're saying?
I mean, they could have been, you know, 20 years ago had an address here, but the last address they had was in San Francisco. 71%, these are our people. They're not being shipped in from Reno. They're not being shipped in from other places. They're ours. And these are the most vulnerable people we have. These are people who come from broken homes, from abuse, from molestation, from evictions, you know? And then how do we turn our back on them because they're on the street?
That's Stuart Shuffman. He is running for mayor of San Francisco. So we've talked about homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
How would you address the cost of living issues for lower middle class San Franciscans?
It's hard, man. You know, there's a lot of things. I would like to see specifically affordable housing being built, but we need to build a lot of it. It'd be great to see if, you know, in the planning department, if, let's say, you know, first of all, you know, things like Prop I, Mission Moratorium, it'd be great to see, you know, the city buying up more land that is specifically for affordable housing, like they have going on at 16th and South Vanesse.
And the Mission Moratorium is a proposal to stop any market rate housing developments for a while, so that then the city can possibly buy some of the property and create more affordable housing.
Right. And what I'd like to see, you know, to make those things go up faster, because there's it takes like from like approval to building, you know, because the planning department's been like 18 months just to get a building started and being built. So, I'd wonder, and I'm sure there's a way to cut through the bureaucracy in the planning department, that if it's an affordable housing project, that it gets first go, streamlined straight into that to get approved before everything else. And I think, you know, some places like Soma, we can build up tall. You know, there's already tall buildings there. But in places like North Beach or the Mission, where you don't have a lot of tall buildings, part of what we do want to keep maintain our neighborhoods, you know?
There is a proposal before the supervisors right now to allow on the western side of the city fast tracking for developments that are all affordable housing or that have a high percentage of affordable housing too.
I'd love to see that. I mean, we need to build a lot of housing. So the current numbers, we need to build like something like 100,000 units before it starts alleviating some of the stress, right? So that'll take 10 years to build 100,000 units. So, and that's before, and so with that in mind, we have to just say, you know what, we're not gonna build 100,000 units quick enough. So we need to build specifically affordable units that will start addressing the issues that we have.
Do you think you could attract developers to San Francisco if they couldn't make the usual profits they make on housing?
I mean, there's tons of developers who only do affordable housing all over the nation. Let's just mess with them. You know, all right, you don't want to play ball with us? Bye. Make your money someplace else. You do affordable housing? Please come in, step inside my office.
That's Stuart Shuffman. He is running for mayor of San Francisco. So you've stated that your primary platform point is poop.
There's a lot of poop in this city.
So well, what's your plan to deal with that?
Well, as you know, homelessness is obviously the reason why there's poop. And that's harder to solve because it's going to take longer to solve. But a very quick thing we can do to solve this problem is open up bathrooms. There's all these bathrooms in Muni, in BART, in public parks that have been closed over the past 15 years. We open those up. Also, something that we can do is for the times that those need to be closed, if we put a 1% tax on equal to new construction, 1% tax on new construction equal to, sorry, let me phrase this properly. A 1% equal to 1% construction costs on all new developments, like they have for public art right now, we add that for public bathrooms. At a very, very conservative estimate, we could have 70 new bathrooms on the streets that are 24 hours. And this is the Portland Loo. So these aren't the green French ones that we have already on Market Street that like people can just jam and lock in. These have grading on the bottom and the top, so police can walk by and see how many pairs of feet are in there.
Because of those concerns about drug use or
prostitution, living in them, all that stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and they have these in Portland and they're effective and they cost about $100,000 to make, but if you buy them in bulk, they cost less. And So these are my very conservative estimates. If there's seven cranes in the sky right now, and there's more than seven cranes, and each project costs, you know, $100 million, and they probably all cost more than $100 million, right? If each one of these things costs $100,000, that's 70 new bathrooms on the streets. 70. And, you know, you put them in high traffic areas where there's a lot of homelessness. Soma, the Mission, Market Street.
Do you think that you would be able to avoid then, through the Portland Loo concept, prostitution or drug use or the other things that make people want to close the washrooms or not use them?
I mean, I'm sure there's ways around that. I mean, I'm sure there's ways that police, there's got to be a way that police can have it unlock it from the outside, you know? But these are little steps. I mean, like that's a minor thing. Can you avoid it? Probably. I can't promise, but at least, you know, it alleviates a lot of the problems we have already. People are fed up. I live in Soma. It's gross and it's unsanitary and it's unsafe. And also these places, you can also have needle dumps too. Cause there's a huge rise in heroin right now. I was talking to somebody and I think they were saying that because the cartels in Mexico are not making as much money off weed anymore because of the legalization of weed and the decriminalization of weed, they're starting to push heroin more. So there's a lot more needles I'm seeing, a lot more heroin. And they're all over the streets. Cause once again, these people have no place to put them.
So do you think more government involvement with needle exchanges or do you think detox programs? I mean, how would you deal
with
that?
I would love that. Detox programs would be great. And hopefully those would be at the navigation centers. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we know how to do these things. There just isn't always the money to do them.
So you could direct maybe some of the surplus of money in San Francisco towards that. Mayor Lee is interested in bringing in more police to the force.
I don't think we need more police.
Why not?
Crime is down. I mean, well, smash and grab crime is up, but there's less violent crime, and smash and grab crime is almost never stopped by police. Just last night, I saw somebody. I was walking down the street with my girlfriend, and we were over in front of near Thrift Town around there.
On Mission?
Yeah, on Mission Street. And there's people who, right in front of us, pinched a bicycle. I generally try not to call the police in general, but I was like, somebody's bicycle just got stolen right in front of me. I called the police. And the police showed up, and people were long gone by then. And they got my information. They said they'd call me if they needed to talk to me about anything. Never heard from them. I don't think I'm going to. I understand. And like I said, I don't like calling the police, but there's so much theft of bicycles, you know, because people can sell them. There's a chop shop of bicycles basically underneath the freeway. And, you know, I don't think having more police is going to stop that.
Why not? I mean, there'd be more patrols, for example.
I think the way you stop that is just having less people on the streets.
Yeah. Which is putting more money into services.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to. I'm much more of a carrot than a stick kind of person. Get people well. You know, if we treated mental health like we treated cancer, we'd be living in a different country. We'd have, you know, whatever.
That's Stuart Shuffman. He's running for mayor of San Francisco. What do you think of the job that's been done by the current mayor, Ed Lee?
Ed Lee's a bum. I'm not very happy with Ed Lee. Ed Lee is, if you told 1970s Ed Lee about modern day Ed Lee, he'd cry. He would weep in his hands.
He was a housing advocate.
He organized rent strikes in Chinatown. He fought, you know, against the closing of the iHotel. He was rugged, man. He cared. And now he's exactly the guy he fought against.
What makes you think that he changed? I mean, why do you think that he changed?
Ask Rose Pack. She doesn't even talk to him anymore because he's so, like, in the pocket of, you know, the moneyed interests. Say what you want about Rose Pack. At least she always cared about her community and always fought for people, you know, and instead of just profits, you know?
Do you think, though, that if you were to take office as mayor, you would be able to resist whatever the pressures were from different interest groups, the people who, you know, maybe behind the scenes run the city a bit? Because it seems to happen to a lot of people who get into politics.
Well, I've got ideas how to deal with that. One thing I would do to help stem corruption in the city would be start a ombudsman's office or a public advocate whose job it is to investigate bureaucratic failure and corruption. They have one in L.A. They have one in Seattle. Bill de Blasio in New York was one before he was mayor. But also, I've got an idea. I'm using our technology to live stream all of my meetings. I mean, especially, you know, ones, of course, not ones that have to do with security, you know, but like, you know, all these live stream these so you can see transparency, what these deals I'm doing are, you know, and have like someone who's like, this is my legal counsel. This thing they asked me, is that legal? Yes? No? It's legal? Okay. Yes. Let's do that then, you know, instead of having, you know, backroom deals over everything.
So you would kind of have your life be more public.
Absolutely.
Have you ever read The Circle?
As a public servant. Yes, I have read The Circle.
I mean, it sounds sort of like that, no?
Sure, but I'm not talking about, you know, your everyday person, but I'm not talking about every bit of your life. Nobody wants to watch me pee. I take that back. Folsom Street Fair just happened. Some people probably do want to watch me pee, but like that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about bureaucratic things that have to do with running our city. As a public servant, as the head public servant who is accountable to very few people in this city, your job should be for the people.
So you think that more transparency would help to solve corruption issues in City Hall?
Do you know our city hall? Absolutely. I mean, we've been crooked for so long in this city.
So would you mandate that then for city officials?
Sure, why not? At least start at the top and work your way down instead of starting at the bottom and work your way up.
What do you think that Ed Lee has gotten right in his, you know, 4+ years in office?
Sure got a good mustache.
He had that before he became mayor.
It's true. It's a good question. I had to think on that more.
What do you think is the main thing he got wrong?
Obviously he couldn't. He's presided over the most amount of evictions the city's ever seen and hasn't really done much to fight against it. You know,
there have been other periods where there have been a lot of evictions.
Sure, the 90s, you know, late 90s, I understand. There's been more now. And when the medium of rent is jumping 30% every year, and without doesn't look like it's going to stop right now, and how badly we have to fight for these protections, you know? He didn't even address Jane Eviction's Eviction 2.0 measure. You know, when Amy Farrah Weiss asked him about it, he kept saying...
What was that measure?
I'm sure, was it Eviction 2.0? It was, I can't think of the name of it, but Jane Kim just had this thing that got passed by the supervisors that created more renters' rights. And Amy Farrah Weiss asked him about it twice, and he pshawed her, like, yeah, whatever, kid, basically. Has she written that yet? Is she done writing that yet? I don't even know. He just seems so disinterested in anything besides the moneyed interests of this city. Mayor Ed B&B.
Well, that's on the ballot, too.
Yes.
That's Stuart Shuffman. He's running for mayor of San Francisco. At what moment did you decide to run for mayor?
Well, back in 2011, when there was like 30 million people running, I was like, oh, that looks like fun. I should do that. You know, I mean, obviously, like, there's a lot of reasons I'm doing this. I'm also obviously egocentric, and that's part of it. I like the sound of my voice.
You're wearing a very bold, maybe eggplant-colored three-piece suit right now.
I am, yes.
In fact, if you go to KALW.org, or if you're there right now, you could see it.
You know, so anybody who does things is obviously egocentric, you know? But I also really care about my city. And the chances of me winning are not very high, which I understand, and I'm fine with that. But, like, you know, when I saw that none of the big guys were running, you know, Amiano wasn't running, Mark Leno wasn't running, and to me, that just looked like a mandate for everything that Ed Lee and his money buddies wanted. And I've, you know, I'm lucky that I have a following in the city. I've built, you know, a bunch of people who like what I have to say a lot of times. And so it was like my duty to step and be like, look, this isn't okay. We can't just let him run all over us. You know, we can't just let them have everything they want without putting up a fight. And so then I, you know, hopped in. And then at the time there was Amy Farrah-Weiss, Francisco Herrera also hopped in the race, and we've decided to actually work together using what we call 1-2-3 to replace Ed Lee, to use ranked choice voting to try to get a larger percentage of the vote for whoever makes it to that round of voting. And maybe, who knows, topple the man on top.
So I have a number of questions now that are something of a lightning round of questions, so
sure,
we can really get to know Stuart Shuffman.
Sure.
As best we can.
Absolutely.
When you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a writer and a rock star.
You sort of are.
I know, a little bit, huh? I mean, the suit helps.
What was your first job?
My first job, you know, other than like helping around the house with stuff.
Yeah. Your first paid job for somebody who wasn't related to you.
Roundtable Pizza in University City in San Diego.
What's your first memory?
It's a good question. I don't know. There's a couple of vague things of when I was in L.A. as a toddler. Maybe like going to the airport and like parking and seeing planes go overhead.
What do you think voters don't know about you?
Ooh, I like to sleep on my side. I don't know. There's probably a lot.
What's your favorite food and restaurant in San Francisco?
I just like food in general. If I had to pick one thing for the rest of my life, it'd probably be pizza.
From where?
It varies. Like just a slice. I think the best slice in the city might be Golden Boy. Best pie could be, there's Deep Dish. There's like Little Star is fantastic. Arnell's is good. I just like pizza. I'll take all of it.
What's your favorite book?
Ooh, there's so many. I'm a pretty voracious reader. I like Jitterbug Perfume by Tom Robbins a lot. I really like
Beats.
Beats? Sure, I like the Beats.
I mean the Jitterbug Perfume.
Definitely.
They help you live forever.
I think about that every time I eat Beats, and I love Beats. Mm-hmm. I love 100 Years of Solitude. I like pretty writing. I like clever writing. I like words a lot. Wordplay is the best form of foreplay.
What's your favorite movie or TV show?
Pulp Fiction's amazing. I just watched City of God again recently. The Simpsons. What else was I? That something? Oh, The Wire. It's incredible.
What's your favorite place in San Francisco?
My bed's pretty awesome. but outside of that, Specs maybe in North Beach.
I don't know Specs.
Specs is a cool little funky bar that's been around since the late 60s. It's, to me, like the ultimate dive bar that every bar should want to be like.
When you're elected mayor, who is the first person you're going to call?
My mom.
Why?
Because she's awesome. She's my mom.
Now, what words do you live by?
So many. I think I like to, living, I always think of this thing that comes to mind is living an unconventional life is one of the most, what is it? That's a problem. I can't remember it. Something like living an unconventional life is one of the finest things you can do. Something like that. I don't know. You know what's funny is I've got a terrible memory for like, in terms of like rote memory. Like there's things that I write that I can't remember word for word. It's only like a few words long. But something like that. Living an unconventional life is brave. It's a fine thing to do.